Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design, and a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are listening. We hope that you've had a great time and are having a great time with your families. So grateful for moms, so grateful for all that you do, that is often unseen, mostly unseen. That we often take for granted. And we're grateful for a day that helps us remember all that our moms do. And so we're so grateful to God for mothers and hope that today is a special day for you. The message today actually is in a roundabout way, really, I guess actually more than a roundabout way, but directly a Mother's Day message. It's actually the last message in our workshop series for the 2018-2019 workshops for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. The theme of the workshops this year has been, Though I Be Loved the Less, and it's a series that's been taken from the book of 2 Corinthians. And today is the beginning of the last message at our March 2019 workshop, and it's called it's called Looking on the Things That Are Unseen. So we hope that you enjoy part one of this message. Let's listen as Gary brings his message to a live audience at our March 2019 workshop. Let's take a listen.
And yes, it's a theme about the spiritual maturity of God's servants who are charged with the care of eternal souls. How fitting that is for us to reflect on as parents, because certainly we are charged with the well-being and care for eternal souls as we raise our little ones for God. When we look at that big prospect of raising little ones for God, the thing that we recognize is we spend more time inside our family with our family, and our children spend more time with us than any other person. And the consequence of that is things become everyday ordinary. And when things become everyday and ordinary, we tend to not view them with the significance and importance that they really are. And the other problem with the everyday ordinary is our everyday ordinary flaws and faults are fully enshrined in the visible range of our children and their children in our eyes. So we have to reckon with the fact that we have an obligation to look at the big picture and walk spiritually in that process. So this year we've done chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and today we're focusing on verse 18. Now, just so you understand, getting through one verse, it's really like the capstone of the whole entire passage. And I'll just take a quick snapshot backward of what the overall background for the workshop has been. We're in a battle, and Satan is the one who's after our children, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy them. And so we have to balance that destruction with the life that Jesus gives. And I'm just going to say really, really simply and bluntly, if we don't live in light of eternity, then we tend to expect the present day reality to achieve some form, some level of perfection. To say, wow, you know, we've done good, we're satisfied, we've accomplished something. And that pressure, that earthly pressure to come to that place of perfection, of success, significance, that really, really plagues us, especially in our ordinary daily lives. Because it's the ordinary daily tasks that wear on us, and we constantly need to back up and see the big picture that Jesus has come to bring life to my children. Satan has come to destroy. And so that battle is engaged, and we're the watchmen on the wall. We're the ones charged with paying attention to what's going on. I love this fragment from Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. I will very gladly then spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now, what an interesting statement. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. If you're in a popularity contest with your children, apparently godly love doesn't naturally instill a return of godly love. But if it's not love, Paul calls it being loved less. I wonder what being loved less looks like to you as a parent when your children are loving you less. That's a huge battle. You know, it's probably the most significant battle that we fight, not only as parents, but as any kind of caregiver. We want to be liked. I received a phone call from Nancy back in December. And by the way, pray for Nancy. She had a really severe traumatic head injury last week, and my wife is out there in Colorado with her. Today she sees a neurosurgeon, but apparently Sally said she's not really doing very well. But anyway, talked to her back in December, and she's raising somebody else's children. She has three foster children that are a sibling group, and she's in the process of trying to adopt them. It's been a long process, and they keep dragging it out, so it's still in the process stage. But at the same time, as a foster mom, once in a while you get other foster children given to you for a temporary time under respite, or as they're trying to place a child permanently. So right now she has five foster children at home, and the older two are teenagers. The others are in the range from, I think, 4 years old to like seven. And so that's the age group. But anyway, Nancy was telling me, Lily's the middle girl, and she said, I don't like you. She's talking to Nancy now. I don't like you. I like Grandmom. I want to go live with Grandmom. Well, you know, probably the biggest pain grandparents can be is we can come in and lavish our love and titillate their feelings and say, goodbye, see you later. So we have this potential for creating a phony kind of love based upon the being nice, kind guy kind of a thing, and we don't have that obligation. And you know, when I was not a grandparent, I couldn't quite imagine the nature of that spoiling tendency that comes with the turf. But I just laughed and told Nancy, well, Nancy, I want to tell you the truth. Never in a million years did I think we would win a popularity contest against you. Because we're your parents and you have struggled with us in the same way. So so now, if you want to check on things, don't use whether your child's mad at you as a measure of whether you're loving them properly. We've got to come to better means of measuring whether we're loving properly. And the thing that is the most difficult in terms of loving properly is that, well, I know it's in many, many passages I have today, but I was thinking of Romans 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And that love shines forth brightly, even and especially in occasions when we're really, really struggling. So the process by which we shepherd our children's souls is a process by which we walk through the circumstances of life that God sends us, with ourselves being the mature Christian, with eyes open and looking and ready to see what God is doing. And so our title is for today, Looking on the Things That Are Unseen. Our subtitle at the bottom of the screen here, what are you looking at? Now, I want to confess as we go on here, I'm one of those bad guys. I tend to look at the negative side so often, so frequently. I see the cracks in the pot. I don't see the gold filling that God's going to put in as he mends the pot. And it's so easy to get that focus wrong. I don't have any excuse. And I don't want to give myself any excuse. But most people understand what I mean when I say I was raised German. And German is pretty strict. And in the German mentality I was raised with, compliments aren't a part of the mechanism of working and loving and raising. Compliments just aren't there. I remember once, I don't know why I was so sophisticated in my wisdom, but I came to my mother and I said, "Mother, why don't you ever say to me, you did good?" And she looked at me so puzzled and she said, "Well, why, son? If I'm not scolding you, you're doing good. So take that as a compliment." So my arch type of approval was avoiding getting in trouble, which was kind of a German thing. And I wish I could say I'm cured of that. I didn't have that problem. But man, it's so easy to be severe and fierce. Remember teaching school the first time, the principal that I had, her name was Mrs. Fry. She was a well-seasoned lady, and she saw me coming in. I'm 22 years old, okay? I am so green. And the kids are 18. Like, I'm not very much older than the kids. And the teacher told me two things to get me through my first year. She said, first of all, don't you ever tell the kids how old you are. If you tell them how old you are, you'll lose control of your class. So I remember the kids asking me, how old are you? And I just look at them. How old are you? So they decided I was 30. So that was good. I was 30 for so many years. When I was finally 30, I didn't know what it was like not to be 30. But the second thing she told me was, don't ever smile in the first 9 months. That's the first year. Don't ever smile. So I remember standing at the front of the class, just, I'm German, so I'm a good glarer. I'm just glaring at the class, and the kids say, "Mr. Cox, you hate us. You hate us." I said, "I don't hate you. Look at your face. It's full of hate." But I have one of those glaring faces, and I guess it's easy to project. But what I want to really touch on this morning is that the love of God is genuinely real. So we says, as it says in Romans 8, it turns our heart to this tenderness where we cry, "Abba, Father." And that was the last line of the hymn. What a beautiful hymn that was. We cry, "Abba, Father." But as we're crying, "Abba, Father," if you look closely at Romans 5, for example, that love that we're enjoying is coming with huge wallops of suffering. And he says, we rejoice in tribulation because we know you're doing a great eternal work. Do you rejoice in tribulations? When you see some really bad stuff coming, do you say, all right, hot dog, I wonder what God has in store for us? That's really a good proper response, actually. Not necessarily something we automatically go to. So I want to zero in on the last verse of the passage, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And I had to put verse 17 in there to sort of get it all to connect. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, children, I'd just like you to tell me, how in the world can I look at something that I can't see? Paul says we look at the things which are not seen. How do you do that? And Mom and Dad, I tell you, that is our job. We're to help our children see with eyes they don't yet have. But that means that we need to develop that same eyesight. But I want you to look at the context here. It's necessary for us to get the simple truth here. If we capture this truth, it'll guide our light every day in an incredible way. The simple truth is this: I have affliction. Now, I'm going to stop right there and say, I have affliction, and you have affliction. Now, when you're in the middle of your affliction, it is by in no sense of the means of experience a light affliction. I mean, the experiential element of it is, it's huge. And of course, you and I could sit here and talk all day about the huge different kinds of affliction that people have endured. And the bottom line is, there's been some really horrible afflictions in the world that have occurred to people. People have endured. I know I mentioned Johnny Erickson taught a last workshop, but we listened to her give a little bit of a testimony, and just the way she described, she said, first she described what it's like to be paralyzed, and the total embarrassing humility that has put her under for her entire life since she was 17. Every personal element of taking care of your physical body handled by some other person, and you can't do for yourself. That's a huge, huge cross. And she said this. She said, being paralyzed was a walk in the park compared to the chronic pain that I endure every minute of my life. And whenever you have nerve damage, what happens is sometimes the damaged nerves just end up continuously. All they emit is pain from the injury. And she said, you know, I don't have a choice. The severity of my cross is so huge that I must continuously, minute by minute, keep calling on the Lord for help and for grace to get me through the next minute. Now, in public circles, she's known for her vivacious personality that just bubbles over. But in the experiential reality, she's suffering chronic pain continually. What an amazing testimony. So it's a, you know, we call that light affliction. The Lord does. Now, you and I look at it and said, well, then we've never had an affliction if that's light affliction. You know, in terms of if we're going to compare, is that we have our eyes to see and understand. So looking at the process really quickly, the affliction is working a greater glory. How does that happen? How does affliction work a greater glory? Well, it comes through this bottom line. We look at the things which are unseen, not at the things which are seen. And so you train yourself to be thoughtful about what's going on, what God's doing. Hebrews 12 has an interesting statement. The author says, you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as children of God. You've forgotten the exhortation. Then he quotes Proverbs 3. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens every son he receives. And of course, this is, the words are chastening and scourging in the King James, properly translated. So we're talking about this incredible picture that when I experience trials, trouble, tribulation of any kind, I need to train myself to start looking for the unseen. What's going on? God is doing a bigger work than the temporary, momentary affliction. God is doing a bigger work. And this might sound a little bit sadistic, but we're privileged. We're privileged to be under his care so that he would give us an assignment involving some form of affliction, difficulty, sorrow. And he would use that to get our attention so that we fix our eyes on the things that are eternal. So, the happiest parent on earth is the parent that has the proper eyesight about what's going on. Because when you see your child having a meltdown, that child having a meltdown is not a cross for you. It's not an affliction for you. It's an opportunity for you to look at the child in the situation and recognize what part of the heavenly vision does your child need to see so they can submit themselves and rest themselves under the tender care of God. So we have this necessity, looking at a circumstance, looking at a trial, and then gaining objectivity. How many of you have ever been frustrated with one of your children? Once, at least once. And what is the nature of frustration? Well, frustration is the feeling you have when an expectation isn't met, and so there's consequences you're suffering from that unmet expectation. And the frustration is having to experience those consequences when you don't want to or you don't think you should have. And so there's that fuss that you put up in your spirit. And we call it frustration, but that leads to anger and other kinds of sin. So what I want to do is just quickly go back through the chapter to sort of recap. Just a real simple lesson. I'm going to walk through it really simply. We have this treasure in jars of clay, okay? That means we're not glamour queens. We're not glamour kings. We're jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God. So every time I see need, if I'm going to be applying the spiritual picture, looking at the things that are unseen, because those things are eternal, every time I find myself in a particular circumstance based on my weakness, that's an opportunity to look for the power of God so that the glory of God might be manifest. And it's the power of God that God wants to manifest in your life. So simply put, if you don't have a need where God's power is the only resource you're going to have, then you're not even going to pause for a minute to think of God's glory. If you're cruising in your own strength and the power of your own capability and the success of your own invention, if you're cruising along with no difficulty, then the glory is going to you. Good job, you did a great job. And you know, and it is so easy for us to want to have that affirmation that we're doing a good job, we're doing a great job. And yes, we want to be faithful, we want to receive the accolade from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we need to understand, we have to pay attention. Stop it. Stop trying to figure out whether you're doing it perfectly. Look for the place of need where God wants to show himself strong, where he wants to give you overcoming power that you don't have the strength to overcome. Because if you don't, you don't have a glory-filled Christian life. You have a life that you patched together, and it will never last. Because in heaven, there's only one trophy. And all the accolades go to Jesus. Because he's the one that paid the price, brought us into the family, and showed us the way, how the glory of God is realized in our life through the sorrow, through the tribulation, through the difficulty. So, if we're going to have this mindset where we're looking at the things that are eternal, where we're looking at the things that are not seen, then we have to pay attention to what's going on. Now, this is a really silly illustration. But let's just pretend for a moment you're out in your garden and your youngest little child sees a worm all of a sudden pop out of the ground. Stick his head up and look around. And your little child goes, "Oh, Mommy, a monster." And what do you say? "Oh, yes, it's a horrible monster." No. You know the bigger picture. And you say, "Oh no, it's spring. Spring is the time for growing new things." And that little worm is preparing the soil for seed to grow. Now that's a silly illustration, but transfer that back into your own personal life. When you have, it says you're always caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus in your body. You're always carrying it around. Do you have an affliction that is constantly with you every minute of every day? A bodily affliction? Affliction that reminds you you're frail and you're on your way out? Do you have that? Praise God if you do, because that's where you get the vision to realize, okay, I'm dying. We're here to learn how to trust God and to live forever, not to preserve life so we never die. And the minute we learn that, we're released. I'm not here to preserve life so I never die. I'm here to embrace this dying of the Lord Jesus in my body because I want to learn how to capture the vision for living in light of eternity. You know, let's go back to this really quickly. There's two words here. There's the physical action of looking.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of the broadcast for today, but you can listen to the previous messages in this series at wcfs.edu. Just click on the resources tab. It'll take you through to Family by Design Radio, and you can find podcasts of all our previous content that's aired over the last 5 years. Lots of great stuff, including conversations with guests, as well as messages from Wellspring Christian Family School staff. If you'd like to drop us a line and ask for a particular topic to be discussed or covered on this program, or if you have a prayer request or you want to contact us for any reason, you can do so by emailing radio@wcfs.edu. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call at 301-241-2072. Please check us out online again at wcfs.edu if you are a family interested in homeschooling. We would encourage you to check out our programs, both our academy and our review programs, as well as the various events that we have throughout the year. Happy Mother's Day again to all the moms who are listening, and we hope you'll join us next week right here at Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest gift. is a life lived for Jesus.